Rick's looking at it again. I realize that you're probably going to have trouble figuring out what I'm talking about, but we'll see what you came up with. Is anger in and of itself wrong?
No.
In and of itself wrong. Sorry, somebody say something.
No.
All right, how do we know that?
Because
Jesus was angry, the dog was angry.
Yeah.
In fact, their anger is mentioned more in the Bible than ours, more frequently.
Well, it's interesting to me when I did a word search in the Old Testament. How many times does it say God was angry or the anger of God was? And sometimes it talks about it, and it expresses it in a way that anybody just feels like that he
does.
I find it interesting now when people say, well, it's a sin to be angry over anything when we see, we know God never sinned in Jesus. And we saw him over turning the other thing, but he was not. I doubt that he went into a little meeting and said, would you please get out of here? He's turning over tables and he was expressing it.
He wasn't very politically correct.
God wiped out a whole nation.
God wanted to more than once.
He's constantly angry with the Israelites.
Yes, he was. What is anger?
It's an emotion.
It's an emotion. It's just like sorrow, joy. It's just something that's natural for humans to have, obviously, God and Jesus too. I made several notes here about how often God was angry with the Israelites, you know, for their complaining and forsaking him, and the same with Jesus. So he mentioned the money changers in the temple, and you know, God was so mad at us that he struck him dead. That mentions his anger in that particular case when he righted the ark on the cart. And also, even when Jesus healed the man's withered hand on the Sabbath, and the Jews, you know, trying to trip him up, wanted to know, you know, well, you know, what are you doing working on the Sabbath? And he got mad at them. He expressed anger toward them. So the first point, you know, we need to know is that there's it's not wrong. However, it can be wrong if it maybe motivated wrong, or it comes out of a perverted heart or a twisted heart. Or if the way we express it is harmful to others, destroys people, or whatever. There are what I'm going to talk about in the next couple of questions has to do with, you know, I guess different levels. I said different forms, but I guess it's more like different levels or different degrees of anger.
Well, when God is angry, it's why I classify righteous indignation. He is angry over sin. He is angry over something that people are doing that he either does not want them to do or is not doing something he wants them to do. A case that came to my mind was Balaam. When Balaam, you know, it says God was angry. God told him to go. And finally, after 30 times of telling him, no, you can't go and prophesy against the people, he said, go. But then he tried to kill him on the way because he was so angry with him. And that our anger so many times is not over something whether it's right or wrong. It's where we perceive as something either we don't like or an injustice we feel. And maybe not even injustice as far as sin. It's just something didn't go the way we wanted it to go. Or somebody has done something we don't approve of, but it's not godly or not.
Okay, when you're talking about injustice over sin, that to me comes into the category of indignation over unrighteousness. And the example I used for that particular one was in Ezekiel 36. The Ezekiel pouring out his anger on the house of Israel because they were not doing what he was trying to get them to do, that God wanted them to do. And actually, that's the same thing as Jesus, when he was in the temple, and they're making a mockery of God's house.
I'm afraid most of the time, we don't get angry over things, you understand?
No, we don't.
We'll go to a movie and we will laugh at sin, or we'll turn on the television and watch something. There was an article in the newspaper the other day about girls now who watch sexually explicit TV shows are more likely to get pregnant than those who don't. And the ones they listed are like Friends and Sex and the City, things that I've heard Christians talk that they watch. And they like that, and they think it's so funny. And yet we get mad when somebody cuts in front of us in the parking lot.
See how dark that is?
Hope not, because I'll go out and tell them. You know, in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 26, of course, it says, be angry and sin not. So, you know, and not let the sun go down in your wrath. So, you know, God is saying, like he did to Cain, you know, you're angry, but, you know, don't sin. You know, get straightened up.
I had that under question one where you can get angry and sin.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
he's saying be angry, do not sin.
Do not sin.
I think that the angry he's talking about there is the indignation kind of thing.
People can have a strong passion or emotion, okay, of displeasure. We all do that. We're going to do that. But we can get self-control. We can use self-control. Don't let our anger get out of control. Deal with it properly. Don't let the sun go down on it, you know. Anger is usually brought on by a sense of injury or insult. We all are going to be injured. We're all going to have disappointments, even by harsh people. But how we respond to that, I think, is what God, how God,
right.
what is God is dealing with that.
In fact, let's just look at question 5. Why should the Christian control his anger?
Galatians 5, we can't enter heaven.
If we're angry?
That's why we should get control of our anger.
Oh, okay. Self-control. That's what's the way we need to... That's why, because we have to have self-control. I put self-control as enjoined throughout the Scripture, Romans 6:12, and 2 Peter 1:6. And Galatians 5, it lists lack of self-control as...
For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God.
Right, it doesn't produce righteousness. It's harmful to other people. It's harmful to ourselves if we're angry all the time. I guess all the time. I guess if we live in a state of anger, what does it do to us inside? It'll eat us up. It turns to resentment, that kind of thing. All right, now let's go back to question 2. Okay, we've talked about indignation. Does anybody else have anything else to say about that? Yes, ma'am.
Back to question 1, and we said that God got angry a lot with the Israelites and with the people over in the Old Testament because he's God, and he said vengeance is his.
That's right. So and he's angry at sin.
Yes, at
right.
sin.
And disregard for him.
Yes, and angriness... could cause us to sin. I mean, you can get so angry where you want to kill somebody. And sometimes they do it.
Right.
Christians do it too. Yeah.
But that's something I put under question 4. How do we see anger expressed today? Think about the violence in the world.
Mm-hmm. Violence.
You think people just go out and kill somebody for no reason at all? They're usually angry about something.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, it is across the street. It's not our people.
Okay. Well,
and I can't, you know.
I know you can't.
You know, okay. It has to do with personal ventilation versus a God, an authority giving out retribution, you know.
What has to do with that?
The difference between maybe the sin that comes about. God has the right to command, and he has the right to punish, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, just like parents, but if we parent with anger instead of righteous indignation, you know, and consequences of bad behavior, you know, dealing with that, you know, that's a difference. We can be angry at something that our children do, but even in how we deal with that, are we ventilating, you know, and just, you know, throwing a fit, you know, back, and just because we're bigger than them, you know, getting on them, or like God, is he in his justice dealing out retribution? So, you know, there's a difference between his wrath and his God punishment for just, it's justice. You know, and so God just didn't get mad and have this big emotion and rain down fire, you know, just for personal vengeance. That's not what God was about. Personal vengeance was not what God was about.
Okay.
Well, it's talking about justice. It is. They want justice.
Here's the thing.
People who sin because they're angry. It's for some. We as a nation have turned into instant gratification. I don't want to wait for the judge to give me justice. I don't want to wait for God to give me justice. I want justice for whatever is done to me now. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take care of it. And that's where you cross the line.
Okay. All right. What are some other forms of anger besides Christ's indignation? Indignation. That's justified, I guess. The indignation is justified. What are some others? Let's go all the way back to Cain. Yeah. Cain was angry. And what? Why was he angry?
He was jealous.
He was jealous. His offering was not accepted. And the result of that, basically, his anger was rage, or, you know, instant. And, you know, I'm going to fix this. So he just eliminated the guy who God liked, whose sacrifice God liked. So he didn't give it any thought. It was like an outburst. It was Galatians 5:20 uses that word. You know, that's where I put that. What you were talking about a while ago, Sandra. In other words, it seeks to do wrong. It doesn't seek to redress something. It doesn't seek to fix something. It doesn't seek to help resolve the situation. It's a matter of, you know, blowing up and doing something about it, you know, without a whole lot of thought.
It's out of control.
Right. Does anybody else have an example of something like that? Floyd? Yes, it does.
Okay, Senator Cain to me is Joseph's brother. Mm-hmm. They were jealous, and the more they thought about it, they got angry. They didn't appreciate him acting like someday they were going to bow down to him, and then it escalated. And so many times that's what happens. We get angry, and then it starts to escalate, and we wind up doing things that if we were using self-control, we would not approve of other people, but we justify it in ourselves.
Right. In that case, their first thought was to kill him. And if it hadn't been for the cooler heads of two of the brothers, they might have.
Yeah.
That's what their plan was.
Well, they were hoping he would do it.
They figured if they sold him off, he wouldn't last long. He wasn't very old, was he? All right. Anybody else have an example of that kind of a anger?
Well, go ahead.
I was thinking, if I don't know if this is a sign, but when Jacob had to leave his mother after he fell with the birthright and the blessing, because Esau was so. Was that the same kind of anger with Esau?
Jacob was mad at Esau? Or Esau was mad at Jacob? Oh, he wanted to kill Jacob.
Yeah.
I think so. Now, he was mad because he was hurt. He was he got the short end of the stick, I guess, mm-hmm. and he wanted vengeance. And Jacob had to leave to save his life.
Joseph's brothers were mad at him because
he's
bringing.
Right. Pat mentioned him a minute ago.
Oh, well, that's okay.
That's okay.
You know, Ahab and Jezebel about Naboth's vineyard just didn't get his way. And he becomes sullen, he becomes ineffective, and then he becomes a murderer, you know.
Right.
And you know, you're talking about angry words, and you know, Cain, it led to him, you know, speaking to God. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, so it's not just, they really get, and you see this sullen, you know, his countenance fell. You see this, what it does to your mental state. You become ineffective.
Okay, I think that's a whole different category.
Well, the fury, though, out of control, does that.
Okay, I think it's different. Your example of Ahab, where he went and pounded on his bed, mm-hmm. and the one I use is Absalom. You know, how long did Absalom simmer in resentment before he took his vengeance? It was 2 years. He was mad because his brother raped his sister, and he was so mad he kept it inside for 2 years, and he hashed up this plot to have his brother killed. So that kind of anger, when besides harming the other person, it's what I mentioned a while ago, it hurts yourself. It's a resentment kind of a thing where I think if it had been the fury of the rage thing, it would have happened immediately. You know, more like what happened with Cain. I mean, that's just a very fine line between those.
But Cain did lose his countenance, and that's when God warned him, and he says, straighten up. But Cain didn't straighten up. He let his pride and his jealousy and his guilt, to weigh on him, you know, and then he's out in the field,
okay.
And so he's so, and then he, you know, the fury comes on,
okay.
but it doesn't start with just a sudden burst of fury, you know.
Okay, well, I guess the difference to me is that he sought to do wrong, and Absalom sought to hide his wrong. He didn't even do it himself.
Right.
He had somebody else do it. He had it set up for somebody else to do it. And then what did it lead? What happened to Absalom after that? What did he do after that? Did that make him okay? Okay, I'm fine. My brother's gone.
Tried
to take the kingdom. He stole all his father's concubines. You know, he tried to overthrow his father. He just was a mess.
Would you say that frustration could be a form of anger?
Okay, yeah, and I had a little hard time with that one. I was going to use that example, but I couldn't figure out if it was
like just
righteous or he was throwing.
He wasn't throwing a fit.
No, he was not, but he destroyed the tablets God had just given him. He just threw them down like a kid.
It's a consequence.
Out of anger, it wasn't just out of frustration over himself, it was out of anger over what they were doing to God.
He was frustrated with them.
But
right.
It was anger over what they were doing to God, not what they were doing to him.
Right. No,
he left them and they, so I always think that is, he was never punished for that. He was punished when he struck the law. Because God told him not to.
All right. Does anybody else? We don't have to talk about the whole, it's not a big deal about there being different forms or being different. The difference to me is that there's one that's not, you're not going to be punished for. I mean, it's not a sin. The others are sinful if they lead to especially if they lead to consequences that are sinful or words. In our case, we're talking about words. You know, a lot of times in our situation, especially being women, I think, you know, most of the time we express our anger with words. We don't go around, you know, knocking holes in walls and wrecking cars and things like that. Like, you know, some people do, but as women, I think our biggest danger is how our words come out. It's when we get upset or mad, you know, angry inside.
Here's an example of someone who was angry when I found very interesting, and that was Jonah. When Jonah became angry, he didn't go back on the record, he didn't even say anything.
Mm-hmm.
He just became depressed, and he felt sorry for himself, things that he did, that's why he didn't want to go. He did not want God to do what God was going to do. God was going to spare Nineveh if they would repent. And Jonah was afraid they would repent. And when it came right down to it, and it says, verse 1 of chapter 4, but it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And then God comes to him and asks him, do you have a right to be angry? And he said, yes. And he felt justified in his anger. And he just went and sat down. And then God raised up this... what's it called, a gourd or something to keep the sun from being on him the next day, he killed it. Well, that made him mad too. And so we sometimes can bring depression on ourselves by anger, by not accepting things that are not in our control. And that's what Jonah did.
Okay, but he did speak. He argued with God.
He did argue with God.
Is it right for me to be angry about the plan? It's right for me to be angry about the plan.
Yeah, but it didn't cause him to go out and shout at the people or to take vengeance on the people. He sat down and became very depressive. He said, life, death is better than life. He just wanted to die. He wanted out of the whole mess.
Who else did that?
Elijah.
There's nobody righteous. You know, why am I even bothering? Just let me die.
And so sometimes our anger, I don't know if Elijah was out of anger or if it was just because he was discouraged. I don't remember exactly.
He was just discouraged.
This specifically says Jonah was angry.
Right.
And he was mad at God. And sometimes we get mad at God, and I think that we sometimes, as God's people, want to think, whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to mind. It'll be okay. But I don't know about everybody else, but there are things that happen in my life that I wish God would do it some other way. And I don't become angry with Him, I pray. But I do it. Well, I think I told everybody in this class, when Joel went to the Navy, you know, I've been praying to God real hard that something would happen in Joel's life to bring him back to God and to us. Well, when God chose the Navy, I didn't agree with God. I thought God made a mistake. And, you know, and I didn't complain and grab about it, but, you know, I prayed and asked if there's any way that he can get out of this, let him get out of it, you know. But God's way was better than my way. And so we need to accept and not be angry with God when he says, do just like with Jonah, I want this people to have an opportunity to repent. Don't be angry with me.
Okay. I'm sorry, please talk.
I also put Jonah, but I also put down the older son. I saw him as a different kind of character also.
The older son of the prodigal son story
in Luke 15. He said he became angry and went out. He was self-indulgent. He had self-pity. He was jealous. And he was non-compassionate, you know. And he spoke disrespectfully to his father. And so, you know, being angry out of jealousy or, you know, whatever that he was, produced itself was, like saying, being disrespectful and self-pity and, you know, you didn't, blah, blah, you didn't do the fatted calf for me, poor pitiful, you know.
So anger can lead to things besides murder and violence.
Oh, yes. It can, and, you know, in his case, it was self-pity and disrespect for his father and an unloving attitude towards people who want to, who come to be forgiven. We can be guilty of that. We can be so angry at people, and we can harbor the anger and the resentment that it builds, inside, that when people repent, we don't want to forgive them, and we don't. And so, you know, this older brother, you did, your brother was lost, and now he's found, you know. And so, you know, we don't want to forgive people. We can be very guilty of that today, and it can go on for a long time.
Okay, we'll talk about that more in a minute. What scripture do y'all have on number three as to why sin, anger sin, or when it is sin? When it harms people, or it's guided by selfishness or cowardice, or
I said Matthew 5.
That's not saying that it's a sin.
Okay. All right.
Matthew 5:22
says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." So,
okay, so what is that? What is the exception there without a cause? What does that mean?
To me,
is it okay to be angry if you have a cause?
Because, without a cause shall be in danger. So if you got a cause, hey, really, huh? But I sent you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. But if you have a cause, you can be angry.
Well, we got to be careful
but sin not.
I think that's talking about the cause would be, you know,